on the youth class that Brother Brett Weininger's really done a good job in there, but we're rotating. Of course, he hadn't had a break since we started, but anyway, he's going to take a break and let Brother Fisher work with him a while, where he'll have an opportunity to be in on an adult class for a while. But I just think sometimes for us to rotate is good. It gives different perspectives, and it's kind of like the band. We're rotating the band upstairs some, and it brings a variety, and it gives also the ones that are laboring, gives them a little bit of a break. We may need to rotate the adult class every once in a while and give y'all something different. Anyway, we just got back from the Sebastopol meeting. Brother McGowan went with us. We really enjoyed having him along. And it was a good meeting. It was the kind of meeting that made you want to go home and go to work. It was that kind of stirring of the spirit and establishing your vision of the body. It was just a good, really good overall meeting, good preaching, good words, good inspiration. And they had we left yesterday after the day service, and they had service last night. They went back in after dinner at 5:30. Because they're having a meeting in Houston today, two services, which, of course, you know, they twisted our arms and tried to get us to go, but we didn't feel like we could we wanted to be here because next weekend we'll be in the Dominican Republic, so we felt like we should come on home. But we got a report this morning that they went back in at 5:30 and service lasted to 9:45. So they all got drunk, and different ones got the Holy Ghost. So the Lord really blessed her meeting. I'm glad. It's Brother Bud's 35th anniversary there in Sebastopol. And of course, they've been planning on this meeting for several months. Invited me, I guess, 3 or 4 months ago to it. And they remodeled those of you have never, if you've been there years ago, well, the old church kitchen and dining room is now just their dining hall, fellowship hall, and they built a new church, and they did that several years back. And first time I went there, I went with Brother Leniger, and they got me up the first day, and I got on the timetable of the restoration and the resurrections, and they began to question me, and it was kind of like the story of the chauffeur, you know, where y'all all heard that, I'm sure, where the chauffeur was riding along with this professor, and he'd go to these colleges, make these speeches and teach on this a certain subject, and the chauffeur told him one time, riding down the, you know, they was on their way to another university, and he said, the chauffeur said, you know, I've been going so long with you and riding with you and going to these meetings so long. He said, I know everything you teach. I can teach it just exactly like you teach it. He said, you can? He said, yeah. And he said, good. He said, I'm going to rest at this university, and said, I'll just put on your chauffeur clothes and you put on my suit and you teach it. So they did, and when they got in there, well, somebody, they started questioning the chauffeur, And somebody asked him a jawbreaker question, and he said, "Why?" He said, "That question is easy to answer." He said, "Matter of fact, it's so easy, I'm going to have my chauffeur answer it for you." So they went to questioning me, and I just took, I reached up and took the mic off my tie and pulled it out of my pocket and just walked over and pinned it on Brother Leniger's tie, dropped it in his suit pocket, and I said, I've talked long enough. I said, I'm going to let my chauffeur answer these questions. And I just sat down, his mouth dropped open. But he got up and answered them, I'll tell you that. It didn't faze him a bit. Anyway, that was the first time I remember them having a dedication service for that building. But anyway, it was we really had a good time. All right, we're in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations. And the first five verses of this is showing the bride of Christ and the 144,000. Brother Leniger taught that the 144,000 was, it says they're virgins. And he said that everywhere the Bible deals with virgins is talking about churches. And so he developed a teaching on it being 144,000 churches. I'm not 100% settled on that, but I know this number's not a literal number. I know there's more than 144,000 individuals that'll be in the bride of Christ. But John sees this open up and this vision, and he sees these bride members being the first fruits of God and to the Lamb in the fourth verse. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they're without fault before the throne of God. That's what we're all striving for, is this place called perfection, where I'd like to be with no fault before God. I'd like to obtain that place and have no guile. That word guile means deceit, being deceitful and having falsehood in your mind, your thoughts. I'd like to get to the place where there wasn't any of the serpent nature operating in me. That's a spirit of guile. I mentioned last week that the latter part of this chapter, we used to teach that, and I'm sure some of the brethren still do, that this is talking about this other angel that he saw fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and every nation and kindred and tongue and people. That we used to teach that was a Jewish ministry that would carry the gospel down through the 1,000 years. I don't teach that like that anymore. And the reason I don't is because of the context of this latter half of the chapter, because of what it says that their message is. Let's read on in verse 7, saying that this angel or this ministry, that he saw, was saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." See, right there, the Bible talks about the last prophetical hour, but it doesn't put an hour after the last prophetical hour. It's not another hour that it shows the new earth. That's a 1,000-year period, a day. But this hour is a time of judgment. And God's judgment, eternal judgment, is set up in the last prophetical hour. And and it says, the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. I might mention that I really see this judgment coming into existence right now. God's bringing a new judgment to the body of Christ right now. There's a judgment taking place in the body that I've never seen since I've been here. God's judging the ministry right now. He's judging ministers. And whole churches, if a church, if a ministers won't submit to the order of God and the leadership right now, God's bringing pretty harsh judgment. We're going through something right now, and it's a time to be sober and stay humble and trust the ministry that God set up. I'd hate to have a spirit right now. I'd hate to have a spirit that I didn't have any confidence in the ministry, especially the general ministry and the leading men in the body. I'd hate to have a spirit like that I didn't believe that God has set up a ministry, that God calls men and puts them in. If this is his work and he's called men, set them in offices and put them in positions as leaders. You might say, I've seen some leaders that have some fault. Somebody told me one time I was discouraged, about being a minister, didn't feel like I was doing a very good job. And one of the leading men told me one time, he said, "Brother Smith, you don't have to be a mile out ahead of the people you're leading. You just got to be a few feet out in front." He said, and another time I was complaining about the people that was under my ministry. And the minister told me, he said, "If those people didn't have needs and if they didn't have problems, they wouldn't need you." So, I finally just had to get to a place I was content, and realizing that I'm in the same, I'm part of the church too. I'm part of y'all. I need help too. But I want to recognize, I know one thing, I can't move forward without faith. Y'all know that's one place, that right there is the beginning of troubles, when you get to a place where you lose faith in God, that you're not moving forth believing that, I can work right, I can have the right spirit, I can be humble, I can do all God's asking me to do, not by myself, but with his help I can do it. You get to a place that you don't have any more faith, or you're not exercising it. And by the way, you can have it. He measures out faith to every one of his children. God will never leave you without the ability to have faith. Sometimes you have to exercise it. You can give over to the old man and the spirit of the old man to a point that you lose faith. But I wish some of y'all could have heard Brother D.L. Jones's testimony. He's blind now. He had his sight and he went blind. He's still going right on building churches, and more successful than most men that have eyes, natural eyes. And now he's on dialysis. He just went on dialysis last week. And he got up and preached a stirring message. And He talked on Jesus being the healer. He said, God could heal me right now. In fact, he told about a time that God healed him, that he was almost, he felt like he was going to die. He said, I was so weak that I told God, I'll die doing what you've asked me to do. He said, Lord, if you're getting glory out of the condition that I'm in, just go on and get it. If I want you to have all the glory you want to get. You know, if this glorifies you and your kingdom some way, that me going through this, or, you know, if I need it, give me whatever I need. But if you're doing this for your glory, then go ahead and get all the glory that you need to get out of it. But he said, the minute that you've got all the glory you need, heal me. But he said, I want to tell you, he said, God can heal me. He said, he can heal me right now. He said, one time when I was so sick, he said, I stand up behind the pulpit one service, and he said, I thought, God, I can't make it. I can't stand up. I'm so sick, I can't hardly do this. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord came on him right there, and he said, the Spirit of God hit me and quickened my body. He said, I took off running and jumping and dancing and kicked my shoes off and began to holler and shout. Said, God blessed me and healed me right there. He showed me that he could make up the difference for me. But he said, you know, now I've started on this dialysis and my health's not good. He said, I know God can heal me, but he said, whether he does or whether he don't, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on having faith, not for my healing, but to do the work of God and to be content in what God's doing in my life. He said, He's got a purpose I may not be able to fully see, but I know he does. And he said, and I know he's a great God and Savior, and he's done so much for me. And he's continually doing things for me. Well, you know, I'd like to hope that God would let me have enough strength and faith to live for him no matter what I have to go through. No matter what. You know this ain't all about us. God is this, he's got a purpose. And there's God's people have suffered ever since the beginning. You know, God's people have went through suffering. There's been a lot of price paid for this gospel, for this book that we've got written in our language we can understand and read. There's been a great price paid, and sometimes you have to suffer for the will of God. I was thinking about in fact I said some things about it, about how the children of Israel, when God had Joshua take them across Jordan, he said, have 12 men pick up 12 stones, and where the priest pick up the ark to go across, he said, stack those 12 stones up right there in that spot and make a memorial. And when they get on the other side, pick up 12 stones out of Jordan and take them over on the other side and set them up. And for a memorial, and when your children ask you what those stones are for, you tell them about the power of God that brought you out of the wilderness into the promised land. And of course I use that to show the ministry, the stones, the government of God. 12 is a number for government, to show the government of God in the ministry that has went before us, that led us, that, you know, especially that we're going to go over into perfection. And that God's had a ministry. We are to have a memorial to that. We are to remember the men of God and the people of God that's went before us. And there'll be something left on the other side for those that are in the new earth. Plus, notice there's 12 stones that got took out of Jordan. There's a ministry that God's going to gather up right out of all that religion. That we, when we go through, we're going to gather up a ministry that's going to carry this on, and there'll be a memorial for the other side. So, you know, I think we are to realize, you know, the price that's been paid, and then when you're paying the price, you know, people pays a price for a lot of things. There's people that's just about died for all kinds of temporal purposes right here on this earth. There's all kinds of memorials, and there's people died to achieve new technology, you know, in space, aviation. People died and gave their life so that a country could remain free. Didn't have anything to do with dying for God. They died for their country. I'd like to think I could suffer for the God, kingdom of heaven's sake. I'd be willing to suffer for an eternal purpose. What a high calling, a much higher calling. Anyway, let me get on this. I'm sorry I've got my mind on so many things. But notice this ministry here in the 14th chapter was showing that the hour of judgment is come, and their message was worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel. And by the way, sometimes when it says that, when there followed another angel, and it's that if you go back to the original Greek, it's I saw another message. I saw again something else. And here's the other message. Babylon is fallen. Now, if this was after Armageddon and went into the new earth, Babylon would already have been judged. Babylon's going to be judged in an hour. Let me show you that. Hold your place here. Go to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelations. And Brother Jerry, I saw your hand, so hang on just a minute. Revelations 18 and 9 says, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her," Babylon, the harlot, "shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment." In other words, when they see Babylon, they're going to remove themselves from her, "saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Oh, see, back over here in the 14th chapter, in the 7th verse, "For the hour of his judgment is come." And here's the message: Babylon is fallen. And so this has to be the latter rain ministry of the Gentile church. That down here in a restored church, I know he starts off seeing the bride made up, but then he regresses and goes back and shows that while this bride's made up during this hour, he's showing more detail in the hour, that the message of the restored church ministry that's under in a divine order is going to begin to proclaim, worship Him that made the earth and heaven and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And, verse 9, the third angel followed. In other words, there's three messages that this ministry in a restored church is going to preach. The third message is, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand. Remember in the 13th chapter, this two-horned beast, America, is going to build an image to the beast and that whose head was wounded and is now alive. So he there, but here this ministry is saying, if you worship the beast in his image and receive his mark, which he mentions in the 13th chapter, the mark of the beast, in his forehead or in his hand. And of course I put that when you receive the doctrine and the spirit of Babylon, false religion of the beast system down here in the end of this world, in your forehead, that's in your thinking, or in your hand, your ministry. Your ministry is joined up to that system. And then you're under that, you're a part of that. And but this ministry is going to be preaching, don't take that mark. Worship. They're going to be projecting judgment. Any man worships the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So, I've got my phone on. I forgot to turn it off. By the way, I got a text last night coming home. It didn't even say who it was from. It just said, "You've convinced me. Can I have your old iPhone?" And I wrote them back and I said, "Who is this?" And so they revealed themselves and said that they'd been enjoying the Bible studies. It's somebody that had permission to listen to them. And so those of you that may have listened, you know, on the website, my hat's off to Brother Painter for the good job he's done on our website. And you can get on there and see all the meeting dates. And he's even got a little gospel radio on there you can listen to. And he's archived our services and our Bible studies, but I have asked that it all be placed under any of our teachings and services be placed under past user ID and password, because the purpose of those being on there, my purpose in it is for people in our church that's Mrs. Church and wants to listen to it and see, you know, if they're shut in or sick, that they can still get the benefit of the service. And also there's ministers that work under me that listen to it, and they want it. They get it in the Dominican Republic. Brother Goss listens to every one of our Bible studies, and men that work with me in the ministry, but the reason I put it under pastors, I don't want to be influencing anybody else's saints against what they teach. I wouldn't want some saint to be listening to this and get to a place where they feel like that I'm right and their pastor's wrong. That, to me, that's iniquity. I wouldn't go in their church and do it, and I don't want it done over the internet. And so I realize that, you know, even putting it under user ID and password, that gets out. So we just changed the password recently, but we're eventually hoping that we can get it set up to where you can have your own username and ID and password. So that way, once you've, and of course people can give that out. So there's no, you know, there's no absolute way to do this, but but it does say right on there that if you use it, if you get on this and listen to it, that you're stating that you have your pastor's permission to do so. And so you're not being honest if you do it and you don't have your pastor. Or if you don't have a home church. If you don't have a home church, I don't mind you know, people listening to it. But anyway, I'm trying to find the best way we can to work right and do have a clear conscience about what we're doing. Brother York, you had a question? Push the mute button to turn it on. If you push it again, you'll mute it. You may have to turn it off and back on.
Testing.
There
testing.
You go. It's on. Testing. Turn it up if you could, the hand mic. It's not. They'll have to do that upstairs, Brother York. It's on.
Well, it may mean just literally what it says on the seventh verse.
You can turn it up a little more if you would.
Testing.
It's all testing. Right. Go ahead. Maybe they'll.
The seventh verse, it says, heaven and earth and the sea, and then the fountains of waters. You know, is that literally or?
No, it's not. It's symbolic. That worship it? Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and fountains of waters.
Yeah, that's when I was questioning
about. Well, heaven is, that's the body of Jesus Christ, the heavens that we're in, the first, second, and third heaven. And the earth is religion. And the sea is the ungodly world. And the fountains of waters is, that's streams that flow out of the sea. So it's all religion. It's not just Christianity, but it's all religion that flows out of the sea of humanity. And our, it's God's, it's all, you know, God takes responsibility for all of it and he controls all of it. But he's saying worship him. In fact, that's the message of the restored church ministry, is that to get the world to recognize Jesus Christ and his headship over all principality and power, and to properly give him his place in your life. That's he's including everything. Everything needs to, even the ungodly world. They're going to have a message that's going to shake the world. It's going to draw their attention to God's purpose. And so, thank you for asking that. I thought about going over it, but sometimes I get on and forget to go over all the details. All right, now we finished verse 10, where they're warning. There's a warning in this last prophetical ministry, this last divine order of God in the Gentile world, where they're warning people: you take the mark of the beast, the wrath of God is going to be poured out in God's judgment during this hour, and they're warning them: don't do that, don't take a part of it. Now the next verse is a verse that people have a hard time sometimes explaining. It said, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name." This is a tough verse to explain, because people, you know, they'll take you to this when you start working on eternal judgment. They'll say, "Well, what about this verse where there's no rest day or night, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever?" You know, that sounds like somebody's going to be suffering and crying and screaming, and there's a fire, there's smoke, and it's going on forever and ever. Well, right beside this verse, write this down, Isaiah 34:10. That's the verse that you can explain this by. If you go over to Isaiah 34, if we back up to the 8th verse, it kind of helps you with the setting. "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion." He's showing that this is God's judgment in the day of the Lord. "And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land therefore shall become burning pitch. And it shall not be quenched day nor night, the smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation." That's what "forever and ever" that he's meaning is, from generation to generation. "It shall lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever." He's just showing, when I judge. Now this right here is really talking about the judgment of Israel and the end of the Jewish world. But I'm just showing you how to get the understanding of the wording forever and ever. He's showing, when I judge something, it's judged, and you can't change my judgment, and it'll go on from generation to generation forever and ever. Forever and ever has ends in the Bible. One of them I'll give you is remember the word of the law that said that if you became a slave in Israel, see, if you were a Israelite, you had to be freed after 7 years of slavery. No one could make a slave for you forever, except if you loved your master and you didn't want to get free, you could let him take you to the gate of the city and bore a hole in your ear and put an awl in it, and you could become his servant forever. But that forever ended. It ended when you died, or when he died. And, you know, you didn't resurrect his slave. It's not eternal. It just goes until it finally comes to an end. They were to keep the Passover forever. But Jesus brought in a new covenant and said, that's over with. That forever is over. So, forever has an end. And right here he's showing, I'm judging. And you ought to write by Isaiah 34:10, write Revelation 14:11 there. That'll take you back. See, you make your own chain of, yeah, your own Bible chain. He said, "It'll not be quenched night nor day, the smoke thereof shall go up this judgment, when God judges Babylon down in the end of this world, the smoke, you know what smoke is? It's the aftermath of a fire, a judgment. God's judgment, there won't be any literal smoke, but the memory of it. This world will never forget. We haven't. How many of y'all knows about Israel being judged in AD 70 and never was a nation until 1948, but they're still suffering under the judgment of it. They still haven't accepted Christ. But everybody in the world knows about the Holocaust of the Jews and God's judgment that took place back there and how they ceased to be a nation of people. Well, the smoke of that from generation to generation kept ascending up. God judged that system back there. He judged that world. And when he judges this down here, it'll go from generation to generation for 1,000 years. You'll never forget the judgment. There ain't been no judgment like the wrath of God and the day of vengeance that's going to be poured out in Armageddon. On this world down here, it's going to be far more reaching than anything God's ever done, because it's coming closer to the finality and the consummation of all things. So, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image. There's no peace, in other words. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In other words, when you go through this, just like the early church went through the persecution of the end of that world and the dragon system and the beast system back there and the persecution that was on the church, God, they patience was worked in their lives while they waited for God to deliver them and to work his perfect peace in their heart and in their lives. And they kept the commandments of God in their faith of Jesus. Verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, get this, this is for me and you, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That's not talking about graveyard dead, but it's talking about you dying. Look at the rest of it. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There's a special blessing right here. I use this verse, and so far nobody's been able to, gainsay it. That there's a special blessing and time that you can rest from your labors. It's talking about reaching perfection. That's what perfection is, when you enter into the rest. When that's the true Sabbath, is when you reach perfection, you cease to do your own will and you enter into God's will, and it's perfected in you, and you've died out to the old nature of Adam. Blessed is the dead that die from henceforth. In other words, there's a special time to reach perfection in. There's a specific time in the last prophetical hour to overcome. I know, if I said that right there in a meeting, there'd be 14 men on their feet before I got it out of my mouth. In fact, this last meeting in Decorn, I said, I want to say something here on a subject. And I said, Brother Souders gave us Brother James Souders, he gave us an order to work in back in Chino years ago. He said, let's let a man, when he gives, present something to us, let's let him present it and listen to him and wait till he gets through, and then let's just question him for clarification. Let's don't attack him or try to prove him wrong. Let's just listen and consider. We're not going to get anywhere, he said, arguing. So I said, so I've got something. I hope y'all will let me say it and consider it. As soon as I got that out of my mouth, somebody stood up and said, Brother Smith, I've got a question. Brother Brown said it don't take long to get to get the question started, does it? Well, anyway, their question was, does this pertain to what we're talking about? I said, yeah, I wouldn't be talking about it if it didn't. I just got through telling you what it pertained to. But, you know, that's, you don't have to say very much before you stir up questions. But anyway, this is a good verse, verse 13, that shows there's a blessed time to die. I'm dying right now, daily. But I'm not dead yet. But blessed are the dead. Thank God there's a time you can be dead. You can die out to sin and be dead to the old nature. And what does it say? Which die in the Lord from henceforth. They may rest from their labors. There's a time and place to reach perfection in. And he said, well, we're out of time, so we're starting the 14th verse next week. Well, just think of it. We're almost to the forward. Move from here on. Right. From right now forward, there's a blessing because you can fully die out to sin. There's enough of the power of God. There's enough of the truth and available to us to die out and cease from our labors and finally overcome this condition of sin that we've had to deal with in our lives. All right, let's take a break and I'll see you upstairs.